This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 8:45 tonight here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to in a short amount of time. Our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us at about 8:15. We'll get his thoughts on the burgundy and gold as the group, and quite frankly, the entire fan base and everyone involved with the organization tries to regroup after what transpired last week with this football team. We'll break it all down here the next 2 hours. We'll talk a little bit of Washington Wizards before we get out of here at the displeasure of our super producer, Vic Ferreira, tonight. I will not divulge your comments just yet, but we will get into it. Jam-packed, though, week 11 in the National Football League, and I obviously got the chance to hear the fellas, Grant and Danny, the tail end of their program. And I asked GP when he walked out of the bullpen, I said, Grant, what was your number one thing you learned from week 11 in the National Football League? I'll give you my number one thing that I learned about week 11 in the National Football League before we end up getting out of here. But I want to start with Washington. And I'm not talking the Spirit. Congratulations, though, to the Washington Spirit, punching their ticket to the NWSL Championship. Definitely good for the city. Vic, I just can't help but think about the comment you made about the Wizards. We will get into it. But I want to get into the nitty-gritty of the Washington Commanders. Let's just be real. Let's just be real. I was saying it coming in. This is probably the most confused I've been as a Washington Commanders fan in a long time, especially after hearing Dan Quinn talk today. I didn't know, as I was getting ready for the show, I didn't know which angle I wanted to go at. I didn't know how I wanted to attack this thing, but let's be clear and obvious, right? Speaking of things I learned in week number 11 of the National Football League, I learned that what happened versus Pittsburgh when it comes to Washington, I learned that it's probably not that big of a deal based off of how the Pittsburgh Steelers looked yesterday against the MVP frontrunner Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore Ravens. So for those of you who are in the category of having a seismic meltdown over what happened last week to Washington, losing to Pittsburgh, losing to Philadelphia, and the offensive struggles, any of you that are on that boat, One, I 100% feel where you're coming from. Like I said, I'm confused. This is one of those times as the host, I don't know what to really say on a minute-by-minute basis. I'm just going to do my best to pour out how I feel emotionally. And I'm going to start with my first emotion. It's confusion. It's confusion because I had to sit up there today. And before I say this, I want to preface this. In no way, shape, or form am I calling Dan Quinn a liar. In no way, shape, or form am I saying Dan Quinn was dishonest earlier today. But after listening to him speak, it really, really muddies the picture for me when it comes to what is going on with the Washington Commanders. I mean, in all honesty. But let's take it back a step further. I want to go back to the Pittsburgh game. Because I keep thinking and watching. I got to watch football yesterday all day long for the first time this season, right? For the second time this season, I guess, because we played on Monday night, so I got to watch Sunday football that day. But watching Sunday football, getting to consume it, you really get to pay attention to the rest of the league with a keen eye, and I saw how Pittsburgh defended Lamar Jackson, and I saw how disciplined they were with their rush plan, and I think about the hours that they spend preparing for him. It was a cakewalk for Pittsburgh preparing for Washington coming out of the bye. With 2 weeks to prepare? Are you kidding me? We should be impressed about how Washington looked offensively against Pittsburgh, because quite frankly, I can make the argument they were better against Pittsburgh offensively than they were against Philadelphia, if we're being real. And they were better against the better defense. I'm going to, and once again, I'm not calling Dan Quinn a liar, not saying they're being dishonest, but I have a hard time believing that a young man in Jaden Daniels, who was praised all summer long and for the first 9 weeks of the year for his accuracy in ball placement, I have a hard time believing that a guy that was praised for those two traits all of a sudden just forgot how to be accurate, just all of a sudden inaccurate, and all of a sudden doesn't have good ball placement. So once again, I'm not calling Dan Quinn a liar. I'm not saying they're being dishonest, but clearly there is something up with the quarterback. And if we're being open and honest and objective about it, even from a play style standpoint, there is a reluctancy to scramble with Jaden Daniels, in my opinion at least. There has been a reluctancy to scramble. There has been a reluctancy to take off. And look, I don't know what to attribute it to all the way. I continue to believe, and I said this, Vic, I think you remember, you produced the show following, right after the Panthers game. I said, if he's not 110%, I wouldn't run the risk of putting him back out there, because when you have a young, impressionable quarterback, when you have an injury, right, and you try to compensate for it, you can organically create bad habits. And some of the things we're starting to see right now with Jaden, some of the bad habits, at least, are a byproduct of the injury, in my opinion. One thing that Jaden was praised for, and I thought he was brilliant at throughout the first 9 weeks, is standing in the pocket, taking it on the chin, and delivering the football. We were all watching in amazement on Monday Night Football when he hits Terry McLaurin for that game-sealing touchdown. And you remember, he had to stand in there and take a shot. I mean, a big boy shot. And he was willing to do it. And he got up and he shook it off, and it feels a little bit, you know, don't hurt as bad, right, when you throw a touchdown. But watching him over the last 2 weeks, there's this fading away that I see from Jaden Daniels when he throws the football. He's not stepping into his throws. Why? I think he is trying to avoid contact because his ribs are tender. And some of you are going to say, well, bad mechanics happen with elite quarterbacks all the time. You're right. Pat Mahomes sometimes fades away and doesn't step through his throws. Josh Allen does it. Lamar does it. Jaden Daniels was even doing it at points during the season. Now it's glaringly obvious because he's not standing in there at all in delivering the football. And when he does, the mechanics are so off at times that the ball is not going where he wants it to go. It reminds me of a starting pitcher losing command. Like, that's how it feels with him right now throwing the football.
There's a lack of command. It's not going where he wants it to go. Even on some of the most routine passes, like the over route to Noah Brown was a throw we've seen him hit time and time again since August, and he missed it. But he's not hurt. Once again, not calling Dan Quinn a liar, not saying Dan Quinn's being dishonest. I just have a hard time watching him and saying this is a guy that's 110% healthy. You're just not going to get me to believe that. So my big thing as we move forward here is, okay, there's clearly something wrong with Jaden Daniels, right? But there's clearly something wrong, too, in my opinion, with the entirety of the offense. This offense, for the last 2 weeks, has been an absolute shell of themselves. Granted, one of those games you win against arguably the best defense in football, Pittsburgh is playing out of their mind. They're playing out of their mind defensively. And the key when you're playing against these running quarterbacks is having that chess piece that you can completely have focus on the quarterback. And for Pittsburgh, that guy's been Patrick Queen. If you've watched Patrick Queen over the past 2 weeks against Baltimore and against Washington, his ability to spy while also maintaining his underneath coverage responsibilities, it's special. That's why I continue to say, well, only certain teams are going to be able to emulate what Pittsburgh does because you have to have the personnel. You have to have the Patrick Queen type of player, right? You have to have the guy that can do both. Against Philadelphia, they put N'Kobe Dean in that role. Now, N'Kobe Dean, not as good of an athlete, but Jaden Daniels, my opinion, wasn't healthy enough, wasn't as twitched up as I'm used to him being. The one scenario that really comes to my mind that I knew he was hurt, and I can tell he's not moving the way he once was, they were backed up deep in their own end zone, and it was a third down. He has Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz wide open to the left. He gets out of the pocket. N'Kobe Dean is playing literally with his entire ass to the sideline, trying to keep everything in front of him so he can cover the underneath route and he can spy Jaden Daniels. And Daniels just didn't look like a guy. One, he either didn't want to run and was ducking the contact, and I'm not saying it like that, so maybe I should rephrase it. He just was reluctant to take off. And when he did take off, it wasn't like he was shot out of a cannon. It was this delay. There's this hesitancy. And I keep going back to it, man. If you're not 100%, and I get we're in week 11, nobody's 100%. Miss me with the cliche crap, right? I'm not an idiot. I understand that everyone's hurt. It's football. We have been in an organized car crash the past 11 weeks. I get it. His injury, though, I think there's something more to it. And the thing that stinks about all of this is, if you remember, this was an injury that, I don't want to call it non-contact, but it wasn't like there was blunt force trauma that caused this injury. He did a somersault, damn it, and contorted himself awkwardly. I said it then, I'll say it now. If he's not hurt, right? If he is not hurt, then I don't know what the hell is the explanation for it. I give credit, though, to the two defenses. I'm going to give credit to Pittsburgh all night long. I'm going to give credit to Philadelphia. The Philadelphia game, to me, was a little bit more frustrating because I think it's a group that's less than. But here's the thing about Philadelphia, and this brings up my bigger point about the offense. Tonight, we're going to open up the phones, and I'm going to tell you why I think if you believe there's one singular issue with this Commanders offense, I think you're viewing everything the wrong way. I don't think at this juncture is one thing in particular, right? I don't think that at all. I think it's multiple things that is impacting this offense right now. I think the Cliff Kingsbury offense being caught up to thing is partially real. I think Jaden's not 100% healthy. I think this offensive line has regressed in real time the past 2 weeks. I think there's a lack of patience with the running game. But the one thing I want to touch on, and we'll take our first time out here tonight. You can give us a call all night long. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. There are numerous things that are plaguing this Washington Commanders offense right now. But as I sit here, a couple of days removed from Philadelphia, a full week and a day removed from the Pittsburgh game, I have more questions than concerns surrounding the Washington Commanders. We'll go through some of those questions as the show rolls on here tonight. We'll take our first timeout. When we come back, I'll tell you which position group offensively has me the most concerned. It's next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Still rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 8:45. Coming up about 8 o'clock, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. We'll get back into the Washington Commanders momentarily, but there's something I have to get off of my chest. And I spoke about this over the weekend a little bit, got the chance to make my triumphant return to the Infinity Sports Network on Saturday. Always a blast. Get to do a little bit of national radio. We'll get back into the Commanders momentarily, but I have to speak about this briefly in each segment as we roll throughout the show here tonight. Netflix is not ready for primetime. And I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed about how Saturday night went. Netflix single-handedly ruined my Saturday night. I worked from 12 to 5 on Saturday. That was a five-hour marathon show that I did on Saturday. And you know what my big tubby ass was thinking the whole time? It's, oh, I can't wait till this is over so I can go home. I'll punch my hours in. I'll get something good to eat, and then I'll wait for the undercard to start for Tyson versus Jake Paul. I was excited for this. I wanted to see Mike Tyson. I hear all this about how he's the baddest man on the planet once upon a time. I remember him, you know, in the WWF early in the 1990s. I hear so much about Tyson that I was eager to see him, and I was eager to watch the spectacle. And I knew going in that, like, it probably wasn't going to be a real boxing match, but just to get to see him throw a punch, to see him in a regulation fight was exciting to me. I fell asleep and didn't get to see any of the fight. You know why? Because at a certain point, my Netflix on my PlayStation started buffering. And it was this 25% sign in this stupid small red circle spinning for 10, 15 minutes. And I fell asleep. And I woke up to the spinning red circle. And I thought, wait, the fight's over already. And it's 3 a.m. It has to be. So then I go online. And I watched the highlights of this so-called fight. Mike Tyson, I get it. I get it. Your effort in the fight, your willingness to agree to this fight actually makes me lose all of the respect that I thought I had for you. I was so eager to see you fight. I had to listen to Mike Tyson talk about how he wanted his kids to see him box. Why would you want your kids to see you box like that? You looked pathetic. But I think you look pathetic on purpose, which gets to the bigger picture, which is why I feel kind of like a bad person. So Mike Tyson had to postpone this fight because of some medical issues he was dealing with. So I'm thinking about it. Watching the highlights of the fight, he was holding punches back. He could have knocked Jake Paul's ass out. This is Mike Tyson we're talking about. He wanted to get out of the fight in one piece. Jake didn't want to get hurt. He didn't want to get hurt. He wanted to collect that purse because Mike Tyson is going through a lot right now. And money cures a lot of issues. So you know what? I took a step back and I redirected my anger. I'm not angry at Mike Tyson in the fight. I'm angry at Netflix thinking they're ready for primetime. See, this is what happens. The entertainment world is a money grab. And this is what happens when the entertainment world takes a gamble that they're not prepared for. All up and down my timeline, I didn't see much analysis about how bad the fight was. All I kept seeing was how Netflix was buffering on everyone's television because they weren't prepared for the amount of traffic they had on their server. Yet, Netflix, this is the same unprepared streaming app that's in bed now with the WWE, that is in bed now with the National Football League. Before you know it, they're going to be in bed with the NBA. So my big takeaway from the weekend with the Tyson fight is Netflix isn't ready for primetime. And Netflix thought they had it bad. You know, people, their people in their corporate office are probably all embarrassed and red in the face when they see people online talking crap about their server. You think these idiot boxing fans are being hard on you. You let there be any type of delay during Steelers and Chiefs on Christmas Day, and that'll be your ass. It will be Netflix's ass. They won't hear the end of it. You let one of these 14-year-old Cody Rhodes fans out there miss a part of his entrance and they can't sing the damn song. Let it buffer then. That'll be your ass, Netflix. You're not ready for primetime. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listen Lines. I had to get that off my chest. I had to. Because it's embarrassing. Especially when you think about how much they got the nerve to charge per month. And then you can't even handle what you have signed up for. You can't handle what you created. It's embarrassing. 1-800-636-1067. I want to get back into the Commanders here. This offense over the past 2 weeks. This offense over the past 2 weeks has been a shell of themselves. And I think I opened up the show saying this. I am confused right now as a fan. And maybe I'll walk it back a little bit. Part of me was saying I'm the most confused I've ever been as a fan. I don't think I'm the most confused I've ever been. It's just an awkward place to be in. I don't know what the Commanders are. Well, let me rephrase that. I do know what the Commanders are. I don't think you all know what the Commanders are. In reality, despite the two consecutive losses, despite the shortcomings offensively, this team is 7-4 and in the thick of the playoff race in the NFC. Like, that is the main thing. And it looks like you've found your answer at quarterback. To me, that's the main thing. That's what's most important. But when we get critical and when we become objective about what we've seen and what we're watching, clearly there is more to the offense's struggles than just the injury to Jayden Daniels or just Jayden Daniels' lack of production. There's way more wrong with the offense than just Jayden Daniels. That's the thing that I'm now coming to grips with. And it's tough because I was the guy that sat up here and anointed Brandon Coleman the left tackle of the future. Let's be real about Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman has struggled mightily over the past 2 weeks. Quite literally, ending drives by giving up pressures and sacks. Hadn't been good. But it's not just Brandon Coleman. This entire Commanders offensive line, who had been punching above their weight class for the first 9 weeks, they stunk the past 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And here's another thing. Since we're having this issue with injuries, Tyler Biadasz got hurt in that game against Pittsburgh, and he came back in, and Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward whipped his ass. You rewind to Thursday night. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams whipped Tyler Biadasz's ass. Whipped Nick Allegretti's ass. Now, Sam Cosmi had a knock him out, drag him out brawl all night long with Jalen Carter. But the rest of the guys up front, not good enough. Not good enough. My other issue that I'm noticing with this Commanders offense, and you saw it specifically with the Philadelphia game, they're bracketing Terry McLaurin. Safety, corner. He's getting extra attention, meaning there's one-on-one coverage all over the place. Guys got to do a better job getting open quickly. It's not just about getting open. It's about getting open quickly. Because the rate that teams are blitzing and pressuring Washington, there's got to be outlets for Jaden Daniels. There's got to be better protection plans against the blitz for this offense to continue to evolve and to continue to have success. That's one thing I think is lacked. I think it's a combination of a lack of a plan, but more so I think it's guys not being able to win quickly. Noah Brown's not the type of wideout that's going to win immediately off the line of scrimmage. Luke McCaffrey's not the type of wideout that's going to win immediately off the line of scrimmage. That's not who they are. Olamide Zaccheaus, not that type of guy. So this two-game slide in which we've seen the offense take a step back, I have more questions now than concerns. My other question is this, and our guy J.P. Finley texted me the other day while I was on the air with Chris Russell, and, you know, kind of got on me a little bit for a good reason because I kind of misspoke. But now that I go back, I didn't misspeak. I know what I meant. There is a lack of patience with Cliff Kingsbury in this rushing attack. That's the other thing that has become glaringly obvious over the past 2 weeks. Now, Philadelphia, Brian Robinson comes back. 16 carries, 63 yards. He's averaging 4 yards a pop. In a game in which B-Rob is averaging 4 yards a pop, you've got to stay patient with it. 16 carries shouldn't have been all he saw. It should have been north of 25. It should have been somewhere near 30. That is who you are offensively. You are one of the best teams in terms of clock control, time of possession in the NFL before the last week passed. Got to get back to that. But the negative plays, whether it's penalties, run stuffs, poorly executed screens, sacks, they were 3-for-12 on third down. Here's what's even worse, and here's what tells the bigger picture of what's wrong right now with Washington offensively. I think the number one thing is they can't play from behind the sticks, and they've been behind the sticks a lot recently. The last two weeks against Pittsburgh and against Philadelphia, we've seen Washington struggle to convert third downs more than they have all season long. Why? Because they're constantly behind the sticks. The negative plays on first and second down have killed the Washington Commanders. So much so that the last 2 weeks, I want to make sure I got this right. The last 2 weeks, the Commanders are 8-for-26 on third down. You heard that correctly. I did not misspeak. The last 2 weeks, the Commanders are 8-for-26 on third down. That's 31%. It's got to get better. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll let you hear from the head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn, on why the Washington offense has struggled. But we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll open up the phones to you. Washington's offense has struggled mightily over the past 2 weeks. If you had to finger point to one specific thing, it's the biggest reason this Washington offense has taken a step back. Your call is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Right here on Overtime. We'll take you up to 8:45 before we dish things over. I believe we got Caps hockey tonight coming up on The Fan as the Capitals try and continue their hot start offensively. It has been absolutely nutty to see what this group has done. Alex Ovechkin, the hat trick the other night, and they wrap up their West Coast roadie tonight in Utah against the Utah Hockey Club. Boy, that is interesting. 9 o'clock faceoff. You can hear the action start with pregame right here on The Fan. John Walton, Ken Sabrin will get you going at 8:45. Faceoff set for 9 o'clock. I mentioned the Washington Commanders and their offensive struggles. This is, to me, what is most concerning right now about this team, and where I am, I guess, with this team. And like I said at the top, I think concern is too strong of a word. I have more questions than I do concerns. But amongst those questions, one of them centers around this offensive line and their ability to protect and their ability to get movement in the run game consistently. The interior of this offensive line, to me, is the group that's taken the biggest step back over the best 2 weeks. Like, that, to me, is what's been most disheartening. Now, I know Biadasz suffered the injury against it was Pittsburgh. If you're hurt, son, tap your helmet, come to the sideline, and ice up. I don't need you out there at less than 100% because your ego needs to be stroked. I need the best five out there, period. And if Mike Dieter at 100% is better than Tyler Biadasz at 70, then give me Mike Dieter. I'm so tired of this. It's one of the things that frustrates me about professional sports, and it frustrated me in college as well. Annoys the hell out of me. If you're not 100%, let the backup go. Why do you think he busts his ass each and every day? So he's ready for his opportunity. And I'm not saying Biadasz is struggling because of injury, but I can't help but think that's the reason. Somebody that's been, you know, playing at a damn near Pro Bowl level the first 9 weeks got his ass handed to him against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Jalen Carter gave him the blues. Jordan Davis gave him the blues. Keanu Benton, Cam Hayward gave him the blues. But it's not just badass. Allegretti got beat. Thursday, I thought Cosme was pretty good. But Sunday he struggled. So the entire offensive line to me right now is under the microscope and my bigger question mark. Because they've made life easy for Jayden Daniels because of their ability to pass protect consistently. They've made life easier for him. But if they're going to have MAs up front and free rushers are going to be coming out of the wazoo, you're going to see Jayden Daniels' performance take a step back. That just is what it is. It is what it is. But it's not just the interior. I thought Thursday against Philadelphia, Brandon Coleman was awful. Maybe I'm hyperbolizing it. But for my money, Thursday against Philadelphia, Brandon Coleman wasn't good enough. Andrew Wiley wasn't good enough. Both of the tackles struggled mightily. That's going to hurt your offense. So when we talk about this Washington offense and what's going on, let's not just blame it on Jayden Daniels not being 100%. Because I continue to say the problems are way more deeply rooted than Jayden's rib, in my opinion. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Paul is in D.C. What's going on, Paul?
What's up in there? Hey, look, man, I'm so proud of your growth, man, because I remember last year when Doc and I had a conversation with you and you was fussing with us about running the ball. When we look at what – but you're on point now, and I appreciate that, especially with that Netflix joint. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at the top four teams in the league, Kansas City, Detroit Lions, and Pittsburgh and Baltimore, all those guys run the ball very well. And one of the things that I used to appreciate about Joe Gibbs is the fact that if somebody was hurt or whatever, then you help them out. Where's the, like you say, where are the two tight end sets? Where you know, if your receivers can't get open, then you got to use your tight end. And clearly Ertz and Stenock can, you know, they can get open down the middle of the field to help the quarterback out. And they can help with the pass blocking in the run game. So your offensive line is battered. They've been playing 17 straight weeks, 14 straight weeks, because somebody made that point earlier. I think Beamis did when he was saying about training camp. But hold on, I'll
say this about the camp thing, though, Paul. They had one of them, and I was out there every damn day. Man, they had one of the softer training camps that I can remember in terms of like how often
they hit.
Were hitting.
Yeah.
Now they run team every day, but I just thought, I don't know about that in terms of that. They were only practicing for like an hour a day. Like there was they didn't really ramp up until the end of camp.
I want to make this one last point with all these new analytic cats out there, because I think it's Cliff Kingsbury, lack of innovation in terms of how he do it. I think Dan Quinn went back to Super Bowl Dan. You take the daggone point. You got to help the team when they're suffering and when they're struggling. You got to take the points, put the defense back on the field, at least to make that offense prove to you again that they could drive the ball down the field. And it's just deflating not to take those points. But finally, for all of those analytics cats, listen, the game is still played from the inside out, just like in basketball. When we look at who won the championship, the Boston Celtics, you know why? Because nobody can stop Kristaps Porzingis down there in that paint. So, I mean, we know Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday and all those guys, but it's the same thing with football in them trenches. You got to make sure if your offensive line is struggling, you got to help them by making them the attacker and make them run the ball and then put the defense
on. And that's what they complained about last year, Paul. I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Washington's offense, what was the number I gave? I believe it's 8 of 36 over the past 2 weeks on third down, or 8 of 26 over the past 2 weeks on third down. What's the number one reason in your mind that the Washington Commanders offense has struggled? I'll take your calls on that. And then I'll tell you the biggest bright spot about the Washington Commanders coming out of this two-game loss, or this two-game stretch, rather, where you suffered two losses against Pittsburgh and against Philadelphia. 1-800-636-1067. Your call's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. On the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge, you tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP. This Monday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 8:45 before we dish things over to Caps Hockey. Talk a little bit of Washington Wizards before we get out of here as well. They're in action tonight, the world's most famous arena. actually get ready to tip off momentarily as they take on the Knicks. Nobi Lau Koulibaly in the second half of a back-to-back for Washington took an elbow yesterday in their loss to the Detroit Pistons and is going to miss tonight's contest. So we'll keep you posted on the health of Bilal Koulibaly moving forward. We'll also take a spin around the National Football League, a super jam-packed Week 11 that honestly taught your boy a hell of a lot. One thing that I learned before we get into it full force a little bit later on in the show, I mean, if you got the chance to watch Colts and Jets yesterday, I mean, anyone that is closing the door on Anthony Richardson becoming a premier quarterback in this league, you are premature with your analysis. Let me say that. Some of the throws that he made yesterday, he may be one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks that the game has ever seen. He's literally got 300-pound defensive linemen hanging off of his body, and he's making big-time throws on third down with accuracy. The kid can play. Reading the tea leaves in Indianapolis, it was more of a learning how to be a pro thing, which is fine. Young kid, didn't have a lot of college experience. I think the Colts, in an AFC conference right now that is loaded and feels like it's muddied up, I think the Colts are right in the thick of things in terms of punching their ticket to the postseason. They're a half game behind Denver for the final wild card spot in the AFC, and I think they're in a position, man, where they could get it. I seriously do think they could potentially get it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What would you put your finger on as the biggest reason for Washington's offensive struggles over the past 2 weeks? They came out like gangbusters, guns a-blazing, during the first 9 weeks of the season. You go back to the Pittsburgh game and the Philadelphia game this past week, and clearly this is a group that is struggling right now, one. But two, I think you'd be a fool and you're being oblivious if you think it's just one singular reason as to why this group is struggling so much right now offensively. So we want to hit the phones. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to Elijah out in D.C. What's going on, Elijah?
Yo, what's going on, man?
How you feeling?
I think it's a few things, but to answer the question, I would say it's the physicality of the team at this point of the season.
That.
This is what you're getting. We saw the Baltimore Ravens in years past. What was their thing? Like, man, we love watching them be physical, but boy, the offensive line. Why would you tap your helmet and say I'm leaving when your quarterback? If I'm not getting off the field. Those other 10 guys aren't leaving. They don't care if they don't get a bye week. And that's what it's about. So for me, for them going this far into the season, they haven't had that. So you haven't had B-Rob. If you're talking about integral like cogs of your offense, it's about timing. Anybody who's listening, you know, if you play ball and if it's a different back in there, it's a different timing. So
it is,
if B-Rob's
for sure.
Not there, you can practice all you want and be like, okay, I think this is the timing. If he's not in there, it's not going to feel the same until he's there. So
you're talking
about
the timing.
Big game?
You're talking about the timing of the run game and things hitting in the run game.
Hire everybody. You're talking about an offense that's woven with the run, pass, option, all of these looks and different things. But if something can't go and the puzzle piece isn't there, this is a new team still. We can't. Fool ourselves in thinking that because this squad has some success, they aren't new. Everyone's new, man. Everyone. So if you're putting together this type of team and cats can't go, you talk about the next man up, the depth doesn't, if the starters are still trying to get it, what we expect from the depth, truly. So I'm glad that they had these last two losses, man, because you get a week, you get a chance to really, really look, really understand, like, why, you know, we're in the situation that we're in, which isn't a bad one. Everything
For sure.
is happening that needs to happen. We're 7-4. You've galvanized the entire fan base. Everyone wants to buy in. So we straight, man, you know?
For sure. Elijah, appreciate your call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Eric Or let's go to Turner, rather, out in Maryland. Let's go on Turner.
Out in Maryland. Hello?
Yeah, Turner, what's going on, brother?
Hey, I got to say this. First of all, I like your show. I love your show.
Appreciate
and,
you,
and I was on here talking about how I was upset about the decision the coaches made. Listen, we are who we are. We are the team that's missing a few pieces here and there. And that's going to show up for any defensive coordinator that goes against us. So we're going to see these times where they just attack what we're missing. All right? Well, we put together a good team, and this is just the beginning of it. So we're still in the situation where we can win 10 to 12 games, get into the playoffs. We're still in a position where we might, I mean, it's a slight chance, we might be able to say that this is a Super Bowl.
Turner, put it down, brother. Whatever you're sipping on tonight, you put it down. Ain't no damn way you're going to sit here and try to tell me this is a Super Bowl team. I sat up here last week and told all of you, and you chastised me, and you demeaned me. You told me I ain't no ball. The Commanders are in the B tier of the National Football League, in the B tier of the NFC. The championship contenders in the NFC are the Packers, the Eagles, and the Detroit Lions. The Commanders are lumped into the second category. And if they aren't careful and they don't finish strong, they're going to end up getting dog walked by one of those wild card teams in the NFC West.
I agree with you 100%, you know, but it's been a long time since we've been able to be this happy about this team.
That's fine, but Turner, I get that, and I'm not here to do charity case radio. My thing is this: our expectations. We thought what we thought about them to start the year. Things have clearly changed based on the first 9 weeks. The expectations need to be recalibrated and reset. I'm tired of being okay with the bare minimum. If they showed us in the first 9 weeks, they're a team that can compete. So I expect them to compete week in and week out. And I'll be real, they've done that. They haven't been blown out. They haven't been routed. They haven't been uncompetitive in a contest this year. So I'm okay with where they are as well. But what I don't want to hear is, oh, it's year one of a rebuild. Yeah, duh, it's year one of a rebuild. But clearly they show that they were ahead of schedule. If this quarterback here in the next 7 weeks regresses and continues to play poorly, then what year one of the rebuild is different. Because I think the kid can play. I think he more than likely is going to be the long-term answer. But there's still a lot of football left to be played. And I appreciate the call, Turner. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls. Plus, I'll tell you the number one thing I learned from a positive standpoint about this Washington Commanders football team over this two-game losing streak. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the August in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 8:45 as we get you ready for Caps in the Utah Hockey Club, formerly known as Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. Super Vic, there we go.
Arizona Coyotes. They relocated. They might go back to Arizona, but we'll see.
It's a sticky situation. Kent Sabre and John Walton will get you warmed up starting at 8:45. It is a 9 p.m. face-off. Per usual, you can hear every second of Caps hockey right here on the flagship station for Washington Capitals hockey, 106.7 The Fan. Speaking of the Caps, their roommate over at Cap One Arena, the Washington Wizards, they are in action tonight as well. On the road at the world's most famous arena, taking on the New York Knicks, looking to stop what has been an 8-game skid for the Washington Wizards. Not playing very competitive ball right now. Out the shoots, good returns. 12-9 early lead for the Wizards over the new-look loaded New York Knicks. One note for tonight that I saw some folks were upset online about: Malcolm Brogdon getting his first start of the season. Played his first game of the year last night in the loss to Detroit. It was Brogdon, Poole, Kuzma, Saar as the starting five for the Washington Wizards. No Bilal Coulibaly tonight as he suffered an elbow to the face last night, and they're calling it post-trauma headache. So not a concussion, just a post-trauma headache. We'll get full scale into the Washington Wizards in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, we go back to the phones. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Commanders offense sputtered last week. The biggest reason why, in your opinion, Jonesy. Tapping it. What's going on, Jonesy?
Hey, what's Nelly? How you feeling today, man?
I'm good, brother,
hey,
man.
Boy, yes, indeed. Hey, look, man. The reason why I feel like they really struggled in their second game, because they didn't look like that even in the daggone Pittsburgh game. They looked terrible in this Philly game. It was the turnaround time in playing, you know, from Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not making an excuse.
That's real.
I'm looking at fatigue. I'm looking at Jaden being hurt. I'm looking at, you know, he was missing guys, you know, wide open that were out there and wasn't even seeing them to a degree. So, because I heard one fan, you know, sit there and talk about, you know, we couldn't go with him and this, that. Yeah, we could have went with him. If you hit the open receiver or the open hot man, that's your running back or whatever have you, Eckler out of Bellfield, I mean, come on. You hit him. I mean, we might be talking about different circumstances in the game. Not saying they might have won even then, but we're talking about being able to play the game in a sense to where, though, yes, you put yourself in a position to win, you know, and that's all I ask for. And I believe we'll see a different team coming up this Sunday. You know, I'm looking.
I hope so.
I'm looking for a bounce back. Yes, no. I hope so too, man.
I hope so, brother. Jonesy, I appreciate you as always, my brother.
You already know, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes,
I
indeed.
Love it.
Appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067. I just got another tweet. This is from William Steamer. Or am I saying it wrong? Is it William Stammer? I'm sorry. Daniels is clearly not even close to 100%. Kingsbury and Quinn won't trust Rodriguez as the bell cow in B-Rob's absences. That latter part, I agree with this kind of head-scratching. They will not trust Rodriguez as the bell cow. We saw that against Pittsburgh, and his lack of usage was kind of head-scratching. But the first part of it is what I am hung up on. And as I said to start the show, I'm not calling Dan Quinn a liar. I'm not saying Dan Quinn's being dishonest. I'm not saying Dan Quinn is trying to confuse us. But you can't tell me that if you watched the Pittsburgh game and the Philadelphia game, it's hard. You're going to be hard-pressed to get me to honestly say that there's nothing wrong with Jaden. And I understand the fine line that they walk as an organization with how they have to report injuries, and you have to be very, you know, specific and diligent with that. So maybe that's influencing the answers we're getting at the podium. But, I mean, you can't tell me that watching this kid, he looks the same. There's a reluctancy to run. He doesn't look confident in himself when he goes to run. And I just think while he is still a damn good quarterback without his legs, it takes away a massive, massive advantage to his game and to this offense with his legs being pretty much non-existent right now. But I will say this for Pittsburgh. In the Pittsburgh game, his legs were non-existent because Pittsburgh plays running quarterbacks better than any team in the NFL. If you saw them play Lamar Jackson yesterday, it was very clear. Pittsburgh's got it going on. Patrick Queen is their cheat code to stopping the mobile quarterback, and we saw Philadelphia try to replicate that game plan on Thursday using N'Kobe Dean as that guy. Does Dallas have a guy to do it? We'll see, because I'm sure they're going to try to mimic the game plan as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Eric out in Montgomery County, Germantown. What's going on, Eric?
Not much, man. Hey, I concur with you as far as all the as far as the offensive line, because as far as I'm concerned, the offensive line that is going to get us to those playoff wins that we want is not on the field right now. You know, yeah. Allegretti and Wiley, they're not going to be the ones going forward. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's what's missing. That's why I'm pointing the finger to. They got outplayed by better defenses yep. the past 2 weeks. They'll get through. What is it? They're 7-4 right now. They'll be 11-6 at the end of the season, more than likely. Get to the playoffs, but as far as winning those,
where do those four wins come from?
four wins come from the Saints, the Cowboys twice, and who else they got? Atlanta.
We're going to see.
I do not see them get. I'd rather take that back. Tennessee, my bad. Tennessee, yeah. I don't see them winning against Atlanta, and I don't see them winning against Philly.
We're going to see how it plays out, Eric. It's going to be an interesting finish to the season. Let me ask you this as well before I get you out of here.
Yeah.
Do you believe Dan Quinn and company when they say Jaden Daniels is healthy?
No, he's not. He's not healthy. I mean, the mini bye will get him through Dallas and Tennessee. That bye week, I think, will get him back to where he needs to be. But after that bye week, you'll see the real Jaden Daniels against Philly and see what he can do. So that's the measuring stick game. The Jaden Daniels, the way he is right now, he'll get through Dallas and Tennessee, I think, without any major issues.
We hope that's the case. Eric, I appreciate the call, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I don't think he's 100% healthy either. I think it's glaringly obvious that he's not healthy. My question is, how much of an impact is it having on things? See, it's his lack of health coupled with the offensive line struggling, coupled with their inability to stay ahead of the chains, coupled with the lack of patience with the run game. That's what my thing is. It's not just one thing. There's a multitude of different reasons why they're struggling offensively. I also think the opponent has to do with it as well. Like, Pittsburgh is the best defense in football. Philadelphia, with what they have on the interior, provided some real matchup problems. Dallas is going to present some matchup problems, too, with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. So, we're going to see. And like I said, Brandon Coleman got beat like a damn Congo drum the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and against Philadelphia. So, he's got to improve in order for this offensive line to improve. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Athan in Annapolis. What's going on, Athan?
Hey, buddy. Hey, you know, you just said it about the opponents. Okay, we beat the Giants barely twice. You beat the doors off the Panthers like you should have. You needed a Hail Mary to beat the Bears. You beat a bad Cincinnati defense where you had to score every drive. You beat the doors off the Browns, as you should have, and you beat Arizona when they were struggling earlier in the year. Now let's see who they lost to. You got the Steelers, who don't lose for two decades. You got the Ravens, who are in it every year. And then you got Philadelphia, who's owned the East for 25 years. The Eagles have 12 NFC East titles in the last 25 years, three Super Bowl appearances, and been to the NFC Championship game seven times. They've been a model, sustained franchises, all of them. They draft well. They hit on free agency. They don't miss often. But still, with the Steelers, you got to give them a little bit of credit, because if they catch a couple of those passes they drop, they probably score 30-plus on them.
And win that game, yeah.
And the biggest thing you got to look for this weekend, you got a team in Dallas where the wheels are off the bus. You got Zeke Elliott, who belongs in a retirement home. You got an old offensive line. They've been ran on all year long. Dallas has been dominated in the run game all year. If you lose at home against Dallas with Cooper Rush or whatever his name is at quarterback, then you got to go say what's wrong with this team, because Dallas is not the same defense without Joe Witt.
So with that being said, is Dallas a must-win?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to be taken seriously, because to your point, Linnell, they're a B team, okay, the Redskins are, okay? But if you want to be taken seriously, like you're on the up-and-coming and these other wins, like Cincy weren't a fluke and what have you, you have to beat a team where the wheels are off the bus, absolutely.
Athan, appreciate the call as always, my brother.
#Willie.
1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick time out. Final hour of power coming up next here on The Fan. Final hour of power here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 8:45 before we hand things over to John Walton, Ken Saber, and our coverage of Washington Capitals hockey. Fellas, trying to keep the hot offensive start going. 12-4 start on the road tonight against the Utah Hockey Club. Face-off set for 9 o'clock. You can hear every Caps game right here on the flagship station for Washington Capitals hockey, 106.7 The Fan. I promised you we would touch a little bit on the Washington Wizards before we get out of here. Things are going well at first, but
the poor defense continued. The Wizards can't guard a damn parked car. They're on pace right now. They're giving up 37 points in the opening quarter, and there's a whole minute and 11 seconds left to the Knicks. Now, granted, the Knicks are one of the championship contending organizations in the NBA, so I get that. But damn. You know, darn. You got to give up 40 a quarter. You got to get blown out every night. That's my thing. We'll get into the Wizards coming up here momentarily. Our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us momentarily in about 10, 15 minutes or so. We'll go around the NFL as well. Right now, I want to let you all hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. Before we do that, let's take another call here, our final call. Michelle is out in Maryland.
Hi, Linnell.
What's up, Michelle?
Calverton. I'm that lady in section 124.
Ah, my girl. How you doing?
I kind of separate the Steelers and the Eagles games totally, because in the Steelers game and before that, and I'm medical, I didn't feel like he had anything inhibiting him. I saw that Chicago Hail Mary pass and all that. I don't think the rib. I really don't. Maybe it's partly the mental part of it at times. Mm-hmm. And knowing he was going against the best defense in the league, because my son said he has happy feet the first quarter. He was looking and watching him. And I said, yeah, maybe with TJ Watt facing you and all that coming at you, you probably have happy feet.
Right.
We laughed a lot. But we should have won the game. It was very clear. He was confident. We were 10 points ahead. If not for that cornerback and that pass to the end zone that Russ made, which he didn't make against Baltimore.
Yeah, he actually missed that very exact throw. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I saw it, you know, the Steelers intimidated Lamar Jackson.
They played amazing, Michelle. I think the Steelers, in their benefit of, I guess initially is how I would put it, is it was a problem for the Steelers at first. And then they got into the lab one offseason and said, all right, if we're going to play this guy twice a year, we got to concoct a plan to where he cannot get off against us. And Patrick Queen, I think, is that secret component to all of this.
Yeah, and yet, you know, Jaden was hitting pretty well, if not for the drop passes.
Yeah.
It would have been a bunch different. But in Philadelphia, it was different. I agree with you. It was multiple factors. It was the offensive line just seemed to not hold up. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts wasn't having a great day either.
Michelle, I'll say this about Jalen Hurts. He's a $250 million leader. In no way do I think he is a legit franchise quarterback in the NFL. He's the most insulated guy in the league when you think about best offensive line in front of him, best running back, best wide receiver duo. He doesn't have to do much.
Yeah, but he was overthrowing A.J. Brown. His completion percentage was not better than Jaden's in that game.
Right.
But nobody talks about it.
Yeah,
you know, he had the running game, and that eventually what did the team in. But I think Jaden also had that finger, that injury on his hand.
Yeah.
And that made me worry more that his grip, because it was on his throwing hand, may have contributed to those low balls or some that combined with the rush probably. But I feel like he's got to get that confidence back that they're not going to be in his face constantly. And only the offensive line can help, you know, provide
true,
that.
True, but the other thing I would say, Michelle, is you got to hang in there and understand that pressure's coming and still make the throw. So that's it for me. Michelle, I appreciate you as always, my friend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. On the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. While we got a second, I want to let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke earlier today and had this to say on what contributed to Washington's offensive struggles against Philadelphia and against Pittsburgh.
Jaden is not injured right now, but we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do, and we don't have banked reps in years, so we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
Because of that, where do you see that? Is it the rhythm of the pass game? Where do you see that affecting the pass game most?
I would say the rhythm and timing too, John, I think is a big piece of it too. You have to be able to run things full speed. Walkthroughs are good to help where you do a line and where do you target, but you need the practice. You need the full speed reps to really, you know, let it rip and go. And so that's why that's such an important piece of what we do, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday of the week. So we'll look forward to getting into some full weeks for sure, John.
Stan Quinn providing some interesting insight as to why Washington's offense has struggled here over the past 2 weeks. Listen, Dan, to blame it on the lack of practice reps, he didn't practice at all the week of the Chicago game and came out like gangbusters and played his ass off. So I don't want to hear that there's a lack of practice time that hurt him. He didn't practice at all. Well, he was limited, rather. I guess, right? In the Chicago week, he was listed as limited. He was not listed as injured in the Pittsburgh week. He wasn't even on the injury report. And then this week against Philadelphia, he wasn't on the injury report. So this idea that a lack of practice reps is hurting the offense, or is the number one reason is but it's a bunch of baloney to me. I don't buy it. I call poppycock. But here's the thing, right? I believe I got the chance to interview Luke McCaffrey a couple of weeks ago. And one thing he hit on was like, the Commanders do more walkthroughs. Austin Eckler said this as well. The Commanders do more walkthroughs than any team he's been a part of in terms of how important the walkthroughs are to this group. So not getting full speed practice reps, like, yeah, it's a part of the problem, but I don't buy that it was as significant of a factor as DQ's making it. Because in reality, like, they've practiced. Now the short week against Philly, I guess, is your least amount of time to practice that you've had in your career for Jaden. So I get that. But does a lack of practice rep make you completely inaccurate and one hop a ball to a guy? Probably not. Jaden's made that throw 1,000 times. He can make the throw in his sleep, probably. So for him to miss some of the guys he missed wide open against Philly, I just don't have much of an explanation for it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Fred is in Bristow. What's up, Fred?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been a Commanders Redskins fan for since 1962, when my parents first moved to Virginia. So I've seen them all, and all the quarterbacks we've had as well since then. And I'll tell you, I think Jaden has all the potential in the world. I mean, we've never had a quarterback that's had the kind of poise that he exhibits, especially as a rookie, which is really phenomenal. It's unbelievable. As well as his accuracy, ability to run, and the ability to think. And I think what's been going on is a combination of several things. One is the other team. First, when we started out this year, we had new coaches. We had 30 new players. You know, we had a new management. So nobody knew what they were going to get. And so as a result, we were able to really pretty much roll over everybody except for that first game, which was a shame. But yeah. Anyway, so we were able to. But I think now the league is seeing what he can do, and they're preparing better for it. That's one thing. Number two, our players are still making dumb mistakes, you know, things that they shouldn't be doing, that are shooting themselves in the foot. So that can be corrected. But I think, and even though they're saying he isn't, I truly believe that Jaden is still having issues with that rib. And that throw that he made against Philly that landed at the receiver's feet, and it was a cross-body throw. And that's the exact kind of throw that you would have that you would possibly miss if you're having a rip problem when you try and make it, and it fell way short. So I think that's part of the problem. And maybe it's just, you know, he's got so much information in his mind now that maybe it's too much and he can't decide what's the best action to take. And I hope that's not what's going on.
Well, that would be bad, Fred. And I appreciate the call, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to attribute it to. I got to open the show up saying, I'm confused. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because I know he's not 100%. I know he's not 100%. But, like, how much it's actually impacting him, I don't know. But when I see the uncharacteristic misses that he had against Philly, it lends me to believe that it's a little bit more severe than it's being reported to be. And that's a whole different beast in and of itself. 1-800-636-1067. One thing I wanted to hit on here, to me, while the offense has struggled over the last 2 weeks, there is one major positive I take away from the Philly game and the Pittsburgh game as well. I'll get you that in a second. First, Captain Todd wants to tap in. What's up, Captain?
Dave, no, what's going on, man?
How you doing, bro? I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I don't believe Coach at all. I think you can look at Jaden playing. I'm sorry. I don't have a radio show, so I don't have...
No, I know. I got you.
Real quick, I just want to shout out that caller that said Zeke Elliott belongs in a retirement home. High five to that guy, dude. That was hilarious. Jaden, you just look at him, and he doesn't pass the eye test that he's 100%. He's not doing the same things now, or at least the last couple of weeks, that he was doing in week 3 or 4. Now, like, having said that, I think the DMV sports ball fans, these are RELAX.
Yeah.
We almost hung 30 on the best defense in the entire league.
Right.
We lost to the top 5 teams in the entire league, and barely, and we had leads. Like, we're going to be okay. And if we're that close to beating those 3 teams with Jaden nursing a rib problem, we got a 10-day break now for him to heal up. We got a bye coming up in a couple of weeks. We got some bad teams we're playing. RELAX, guys, we're going to be all right.
Todd, appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think that perspective is the one I want to lean towards, because I think Pittsburgh coming out of the bye had 2 weeks to prepare for Washington, and Washington was still damn near hung 30 on them. But if you're realistic about how they got to 27 points, right, you got gifted 7 points because of the fake punt attempt that failed inside of Pittsburgh's own 20. And some penalties aided you as well. But I'm not going to fault them for that. My thing is this about Jaden Daniels. He played so well the first 9 weeks. It was damn near flawless after the Giants game in that second half, that our expectations are sky high for this young man. And in reality, against Philly, he's hurt. He also just had a bad game. He's allowed to have a bad game. He's allowed to miss. He's allowed to be inaccurate. He's allowed to not see the field well. He's a rookie still. So that's the context and the lens that I continue to look at it through. But I tell you what, the rookie on offense that I'm more concerned about, or that I'm actually concerned about, is not Jaden Daniels. It's Brandon Coleman. If there's a rookie on offense that I'm actually concerned about, it's Brandon Coleman and not Jaden Daniels. It doesn't get any much easier for Brandon Coleman. You went against T.J. Watt. You had to go up against Bryce Huff, N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, Brandon Graham. Cool. You got Micah Parsons this weekend. You thought that was tough? You get Arden Key and Harold Landry next week. You thought that was tough? You get Chase Young next week and Carl Granderson next week, right? You thought that was tough? You get Philly again. You thought that was tough? You got Matthew Judon. So, it's just frustrating, man. Because I know this group offensively is better than what they showed the last, or on Thursday, rather.
I just think there's so many different issues that they have. I wonder if they can solve them all before Sunday. One caller said this earlier, and I agree completely. The physicality that Brian Robinson brings to this offense, the physicality that B-Rob brings to this offense is also limited when Cliff doesn't stick with the running game. B-Rob had 16 carries averaging 4 yards a pop. That should be a scenario where he's getting 25 to 30 carries in a contest. So, I don't know. They got some things to correct. I think Dallas is a good spot to get right, but if they don't get right against Dallas offensively, what do we say? Noble is in Springfield. What's up, Noble?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
So I think if we don't get right against Dallas, it might be a bit worrying for this season, but it's not going to be worrying for our future. We're still going to be – we got a young guy, a quarterback, who's going to be great for the next 10 years, assuming he stays healthy. And I think we've already – look, right now we are 7-4, right? We are almost doubling our same amount of wins last season, and we're still in November, right? We got this rookie who's been playing the lights out, and he had a bad game against Chicago. He had a bad game against Philly this week, but apart from those, he's balled out. Like, the offense is balling. 27 versus Pittsburgh. The game before that, I can't remember who we had, but like, we put up 40 against Arizona, almost 40 against Cleveland. Like,
but,
you know,
but
even
no,
though
those are bad defenses. My question is, how do we look against the cream of the crop? Where are we? Who are we?
Who are we? We are a young team that's going to be.
We are the Commanders.
For the next couple of years, we are the Commanders, and I think it would be very harsh on this team to try and give us standards to meet that, you know, teams like Philly, teams like Kansas City,
that's
Detroit
fair.
Are trying to meet that have been there for the last couple of seasons. We won 4 games last year, and for us to really like give ourselves harsh standards to meet when we haven't deserved those standards yet. Is I think it's a bit harsh. Now, us, I expect us, we'll make the playoffs. Being 7-4, it would be shocking not to make the playoffs, right? Point blank, whether it's a division winner or whether it's a wild card team. I think if you told all the fans in August we will make the playoffs, Jaden Daniels' first year winning maybe double-digit games, anyone's going to be happy with that. And
for
I think
sure.
It's a successful season. And
oh, I agree. I'm not saying the season's not a success. I'm just looking at it for what it is. Our expectations have been recalibrated based on the start. So that's just
is definitely.
What it is.
But I think having Dallas this week and Tennessee the following is going to be like, those are two like.
Be careful when you say
right
that.
Now, but,
be careful when you say that because it's two pass rushes that can get after the quarterback. That's my concern.
No, I'm not writing them off as scrubs, but I'm saying it's teams that will like test where we are because we're not playing one of the five league, but we're not playing an elite team. Right? We're not playing one of the best of the best. Tennessee's been playing well the last couple of weeks, but we're playing teams that are in the middle of the pack, whether you want to call it slightly above average, slightly below average. We're playing solid NFL competition, and that's a good way to determine who we really are. Now, I think we did overachieve to start the season, 7-2. Trustway didn't see the field for a goddamn, 2 weeks, man? Like, that's not sustainable,
sure.
Right?
For
of
sure.
course.
For sure. No, I appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us next. Well, if there's one thing that makes you feel better about the Washington Commanders offense, watch the Cowboys defense tonight. Washington's opponent in, I don't know, 6 days. Allowed 46-yard and 77-yard touchdowns to untouched players. 46-yard play, 77-yard touchdown. Or excuse me, 77. So hold on. Let me make sure I have this right. So they've allowed gains of 46 and 77 in this game. Big play ends up coming back because of some garbage. But the Dallas defense is very good. Washington has a massive opportunity to bounce back on Sunday. The big question is, will they? We go out to the guest hotline where we find our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, and give David a follow on the X app at D Harrison 82. David, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm confused, David. That's probably the best way I can describe where things currently stand with me. I watched this offense the first 9 weeks come out like gangbusters. Last 2 weeks, they've come to a screeching halt. If you had to put your finger on one thing in particular as to why the offense has sputtered here over the past week, what would it be?
I think it's a combination of going up against experience and being a new team that is feeling the weights of 11 weeks of NFL football, especially the short week going from week 10 to week 11 against Philadelphia Eagles, you know. And you know, I was actually having this conversation with another person earlier today. I don't know that I would say that the Washington Commanders offense sputtered against the Pittsburgh Steelers, to be quite honest with you. They scored a lot more points against the Pittsburgh Steelers than a lot of other teams have. They scored more points against the Pittsburgh Steelers than the Baltimore Ravens just did. Now, obviously, you know, there are some mistakes in that game, and I think that kind of colors it a little bit differently. You know, the missed pass to Luke McCaffrey, the drops and things like that. Obviously, there's opportunities for more, but, you know, in a silver lining kind of way, I actually almost look at that as a positive of you more than doubled the season average for points allowed by the Steelers defense in that game, and you actually should have gotten even more. You know, it doesn't help with the current day loss, but, you know, it's, I don't know that I would categorize that as a sputter as much as, you know, a solid performance that should have been better and probably should have been a winning performance against the Eagles. Now, that's obviously a sputtering offense, you know, and I think you got Jaden Daniels, you know, maybe still a little bit of that rib, a little bit of that hand. You know, I know the hand injury was more of a like a rug burn, it kind of looked like almost, but, you know, depending on how bad those goes, you know, that area of the muscle kind of tightens up on you. That's your throwing hand. It's cold out there. The ball is harder because of the cold weather. All those things kind of combined. And then the offensive line has been dealing with rotating injuries, obviously, from the left tackle to the right tackle position. And, you know, Tyler Biadasz has, you know, had an ankle, had a thumb, and then just the normal wear and tear. So I think it's a combination of all those things. You know, you're going up against two teams that very much kind of know who they want to be, have played together, especially defensively, and then all those other factors combined is just almost kind of a perfect storm of situations to come together at once.
One of the ringing endorsements that Jaden Daniels has got from the media, from fans since training camp, David, is the ball placement and accuracy being that real difference-making trait that he has. What do you attribute some of these uncharacteristic misses to here over the past two games?
Yeah, Coach Quinn said today that a lot of that had to do with missing reps, you know, while he was dealing with that rib injury. Obviously, I had to miss some practice time and some live reps, some full-speed reps, and then the short week going into Philly, everything is pretty much a walkthrough. That's pretty much standard operating procedure across the NFL for Thursday night games, is you're really not doing any full practices. And, you know, I think certainly there's something to that a little bit, right? Confidence is a big part of what, you know, what drives players. We talk about all the time how typically when a player struggles or fizzles out of the league altogether, it's typically not because of athletic ability. It's typically because of something mental. And if Jaden wasn't able to get the quality reps or as many quality reps going into that game, especially coming off of some of the misses he did have against Pittsburgh Steelers, perhaps some of the confidence there wasn't there. And it looked to me at times like he was almost aiming the ball. You know, I kind of liken it to almost like trying to throw a football like a dart. And when in times in the past that I've seen a quarterback try to do that, not necessarily with Washington, but just in general, it almost never works out, you know, properly. It's not how you want to throw a football. And, you know, I think that Dan Quinn obviously knows the internal workings of the team. So I think that he's obviously coming from a place of knowledge on that. But I also, you know, I wonder if that hand, you know, again, was maybe a little bit more bothersome than let on. Maybe there was a little bit of rib soreness still going on there. And I almost wonder about the cold, too. You know, it wasn't like the most frigid, you know, night of football, you know, ever. Like Buffalo fans and Green Bay fans would certainly not call it a freezing cold night there. But it was cold enough that I noticed that Jaden, you know, every time he handed a ball off, he stuck his hands right back in his warmer. Every time he threw a pass, Once the ball was out, he threw his hands right back in his warmer. So obviously the cold weather was on his mind to the point where as soon as his hands were free to do so, he was getting them back into the warmer to get them warm again. And so, again, just kind of like what we talked about before, combination of all those things. I don't think it's any one thing in particular, but I think a combination of all those things led to some of those situations. And, hopefully if Coach Quinn is right, and I mean, he didn't say that was 100% the reason, to be fair, but that was definitely the reason he kind of emphasized today in the press conference. Then with a week of full practice and a week of full speed reps, then hopefully we see more of the, first 9 weeks of Jaden Daniels than the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's still head scratching, hard to wrap my mind around it. Hopefully it's something that was a one-off, and with extra rest and a full week of practice, everything is back to normal. But I can't help but notice, David, over these past two games, we've also seen this offensive line struggle to a degree that we're not accustomed to. Against Pittsburgh, there were struggles on the interior. You mentioned the injury to Tyler Biadasz. I'm always of the mentality, man, if Biadasz is 75%, I want Dieter at 100. So he struggled with Keanu Benton. He struggled with Cam Hayward. He struggled with Jalen Carter. The offensive line as a whole has had their struggles over the past two games, David. We've seen Brandon Coleman get beat uncharacteristically on the edge. We saw Andrew Wiley really struggle to, target in the run game. I thought Sam Cosmi has been pretty good over these two games. But, I mean, outside of that, I mean, the offensive line has struggled. What would you point at with those two teams against this unit? Because I don't just want to say, David, that it's the level of competition, because I thought they played decent against Baltimore. I thought they played decent against a pretty good Chicago pass rush. They limited the Giants pass rush. So what say you on the O-line struggles?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things that are important in this game, right? Is knowing your own personnel, knowing what you're strong at doing and where your strengths lie, obviously. But there's also knowing how teams are going to try to attack you. And I think the last 2 weeks specifically, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Philadelphia Eagles are two teams that really like to bring simulated pressure. They'll put 6-7 guys on the offense that are on the line of scrimmage and then potentially bring only 4 or even bring only 3. And the trick there is knowing where they're coming and where they're not coming from. And Tyler Biadasz, I think, has been really good at that. But I think also in the last couple of weeks, the Steelers and Eagles were able to kind of dial up some things that kind of drew them off. I remember there's a couple of reps that stand out specifically that I watched where Brandon Coleman is kind of blocking down into a down lineman. And there's either outside linebacker or second level defender DB coming on a blitz that is unaccounted for, and he disengages from his block and tries to get out there to that outside rusher, but is unable to get there in time. And then the interior blocker that wasn't necessarily supposed to be helping him out has now got to get that block covered, and then it kind of just trickles down. So when you miss one block for whatever reason, you miss another. And again, I'm not on the line of scrimmage, right? So I can't tell you that Tyler, who's the one who sets the protections and all that stuff, I can't tell you he didn't identify it, or if he did identify it and Brandon didn't hear him or didn't understand or what happened there. But clearly, there's an unblocked rusher that in a couple of these situations that shouldn't be unblocked. And, for whatever reason, they've got to figure out, one, what it is that those teams did differently to have success against their protection, and then two, how they go about making sure that those adjustments get made as they move forward. And that's something that, it can come down to potentially a running back not reading, the open blitzer, the open rusher coming through, not understanding where the weakness was in the line and all those things. And it could also come down to the call that Tyler Biadasz is making and the execution of the offensive line. So, again, I can't tell you exactly where it's coming from, but I have noticed that in the last couple of games. Some of those simulated pressures are winning and creating open rushers more so than they did early on.
David, hopefully they can figure it out here in the next 6 days before they take on the Dallas Cowboys Sunday. My friend, I appreciate you giving us some time, buddy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That is David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can also check out his work at WSA9.com. Give him a follow on the X app at DHarrison82. About a minute left to go in the program. How about we get an update on the Washington Wizards? Wizards. Down 19 at halftime to the New York Knicks, 73-54. It's been ugly for the Washington Wizards. Looking to snap an 8-game losing streak, doesn't look like it's going to happen at the world's most famous arena. That's going to do it, though, here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. You keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. I'm back with you tomorrow in some form or fashion. Just keep it locked.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.